Hey guys, welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, More Land, More Sports. I'm going to make a prediction for each game in NFL Week 14. I'll make my predictions for the game. I'll give you a score. I want to talk about a couple of things this week, though. I want to talk about, you know, a couple of things involving the Pittsburgh Steelers. Involved with, like, both of their games. Their most recent games against the Ravens and the Vikings. So I'll do those two segments first, and then I'll make my predictions for the NFL for Week 14. Enjoy the show, guys. I heard myself in the pregame intro, and I'm like, I did not sound the best, so bear with me, guys, and welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, More Land, More Sports. I'm going to kick things off with the decision that John Harbaugh decided to make, and I know this is a week old, and I talked about it on Thomas Tyree's show on the Hop, but, on the Hop podcast with host Thomas Tyree. I won't just call it a show because he's not the only one that does it, but anyway. I think going for two in that situation is a bonehead decision. I think you have the best kicker in the league. You have the best kicker in the history of the league, arguably. You don't have an inconsistent guy there. Like, a lot of these kickers in the league, they're very inconsistent. I see them. I watch them miss field goals every week on Red Zone. It's just not shocking anymore, but, like, you never really see Tucker miss kicks like that, and if he does, it's extremely, extremely rare. Like, but yeah, Tucker, you know, I think you gotta trust him in that situation. I'm not saying we should have kicked it based off of hindsight. You know, as the game was going, I didn't want them to kick it. I want them to take all their points possible. So it's just a very, very bad decision, in my opinion. And I don't really like the excuse about how there are no corners available. John, it's 10 seconds left. You have 10 seconds left. Are you think they're going to run a play with 10 seconds left if you tie the game? Probably not. If you give up a 75-yard drive in just 10 seconds, and then shame on you. Either way. I just don't think it was the right call at all. And, like, you never know. You might win the coin toss in overtime, and you put the ball in Lamar Jackson's hands to give you a game-winning drive. So, I don't know. The offense has to get it together, though. Lamar has to make better decisions, especially in the red zone. You can't just keep chucking it up and hoping that Mark Andrews is going to make a spectacular catch every time, because it's not going to happen. Usually when you make throws off your back foot like that, you're just going to, you know, throw interceptions to a safety or a corner that's waiting for that. So you got to make better decisions with that. Offense just has not been clicking. Receivers aren't getting involved. They're starting to look like last year's offense, where it's mainly just Andrews and the running backs getting involved. Devontae Freeman, he did pretty well. For his role, you know, Andrews, he's gonna do his thing, but, like, you know, I didn't really see much Marquise Brown last week. You know, I didn't really see Rashad Bateman. I didn't really see Sammy Watkins do all that much until, like, we got into the end zone. Until he got into the end zone. So just in general, like, we need to see this team do a lot better, because we know they're a talented team, especially on offense. You know, this guy, Lamar Jackson, first ever unanimous MVP. You know, he's not out of his prime. He's still in his rookie deal, so his prime is just getting started. You know what I mean? So, he's got to make better decisions with him. Hopefully, he kind of turns it around in Cleveland. I really don't think the offense will turn it around, though. I think this will be another game where both teams score under 20 points, and the Ravens aren't really accustomed to that until this season. I think we had like I think we had like a record, or like, you know, we were very close to a record of, you know, most points, most consecutive points, or most consecutive games scoring more than 20 points. But now we have, now we're having games where we're scoring less than 20 points, you know, consecutively. So, yeah, we just gotta be better. I think, you know, a game against Pittsburgh, you can't go for two. You can't. I probably wouldn't mind it if it was like earlier in the game, but like at that state of the game where you kind of guarantee yourself overtime at least. But like, you know, you're trying to put a lottery going for two and just hope that you get the points that you need. I didn't like it at all, but hey, you know, I'm not a coach. I'm just a spectator. John must have thought he was going to be able to draw something up, or Greg Roman, whoever. It is what it is, and you just gotta move on from it. You know, you get to see Pittsburgh one more time, you see an East Division opponent one more time, and then you play the two best teams in the NFC. Well, two of the best teams in the NFC, the Packers and Rams, so that won't be easy either. So good luck to the Ravens. This final stretch will be very, very tough, especially with, you know, no Marlon Humphrey now. He's not available for the rest of the year. So you don't have your two corners, your two all-pro corners that were all-pros as teammates 2 years ago. It's crazy, man. Like how, you know, how big of a turnaround injuries can do to a team. Honestly, the Ravens have no business being where they're at right now. Considering like everything that they've been through this year. All the come from behind wins, and you know, I mean, it's good to show resiliency, but like, my goodness, like we've actually, you know, we found a few shamrocks on our way in this season. So, you know, hopefully we can keep it up and we get a playoff spot. You know, I'd love to clinch a playoff spot. I'm not too comfortable with our remaining schedule to like guarantee playoffs or anything like that, but yeah. I really try not to bash players on here. Like, I'll bash a team, and like not in the most like critical way. I'll criticize them, but like I'm not gonna come for their necks. I'll just like make observations and like make suggestions on how they can be a better team. But Chase Claypool needs to get his act together. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand the first down celebration on a running clock with no timeouts, down 8 points in a 2 minute drill. I don't get it. It makes no sense. Like, I don't care if it's for a second. Every second counts. You know, every second counts. It's ridiculous. Chase Claypool's one of those guys. He can be a phenomenal talent. We saw him break out in his rookie year making spectacular catches. I was like, whoa, this guy looks like he can be the real deal. But he's just the guy that just likes to, you know, showboat a lot, talk a lot of trash, and he needs to humble himself, you know? Look, I'm not trying to, like, be personal with it. I'm just making observations on what I see on the field. And, you know, like, off the field, too, it seems like he can't, like, get his act together. Like, he wants music at practice. I mean, sure, music is nice, but when you're below 500, or you're hovering around 500, when you're not playing as well as some of the better teams in the league, you probably shouldn't be having that privilege, because it's going to get you distracted. Like, I get it. Like, you know, when you're practicing, you're just hearing a bunch of whistles and pads and stuff. But, like, what do you need music for? Like, you got to be able to, like, hear your coaches and whatnot. I guess if you're doing drills or something, you want music. You want music while you practice, you know. I don't know, just come out on game day 4 hours prior and practice all you want, listen to all the stadium music. But on a serious note, like, you know, and then you get mad because your offensive lineman accidentally knocks it out or the other DB knocks it out. Like, just hand it straight to the ref. Your teammate shouldn't have to take the ball from you or try to take the ball from you to get it to the ref. You know, run to the hash, give it to the ref, get lined up, spike it, run the next play, whatever. But, like, you cost yourself, like, 14 seconds. That Pat Freiermuth incompletion, that could have been the second to last play instead of the last play. But because of you, you know, not all because of you, but, like, you know, because the team did bad as a whole, especially in the first half. But because of you on that final drive, you know, you could have made something work. You know, you made a nice first down catch, but you want to celebrate it. Like, you could have been the guy that had the game-winning touchdown or the game-tying touchdown. But no. You were remembered for something else. And I know, I hope he learns from this. You know, as a Ravens fan, I hope he learns from his mistakes, and I hope he, like, is a little more disciplined on the field. You know, he doesn't do dumb stuff, but, you know, he's young. He's a young man. He's around my age. He's probably 23, 22. You know, he's excited to be in the league. But he just has to get it together and, you know, stop creating distractions for his football team, because he's, I don't understand what it is with, like, these recent Pittsburgh receivers, but, like, they keep creating bad news that's, like, drawing negative attention to their team. Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and Juju, you know, when it comes to, like, TikTok, not as bad as the other three, you know, Claypool, but, you know, and, like, Deontay, when he was dropping the ball a lot, but he's playing a lot better this year. I love Deontay Johnson, but, you know, the Steelers organization, they're just not the same organization that I used to fear and, like, you know, respect so much. Like, now I couldn't care less about them. You know, and I mean, I never really cared for them in the first place, but, like, they were a team where I was scared to play twice a year. And even though we just lost to them, I'm not worried about them anymore. They have their own issues that they need to fix. And I don't know how long it'll be until they fix them. All right, guys, the final segment. It's going to be week 14 pick-ems. I will try not to be forever with my decision-making for these games. I'll try to be very quick and all. You know, Ravens and Browns. Also, I did have Pittsburgh winning the other night. I thought they were going to beat the Vikings. So the Browns are favorites to win. Also, let me just say I'm so happy sports betting is available in Maryland. So we're not going to have Patrick McCary. Our remaining three corners, well, three of them are hurt. They're questionable. But, you know, we are 2.5-point underdogs. Over-under is 43.5. I got the under. I don't think this will be a high-scoring game at all. But I do think the Ravens will bounce back and win this game. But again, I would not be surprised if the Ravens lose this game. I got the Ravens winning this game. I'm going to go 19-16. That's my final, 19-16. Yeah, the Jaguars and the Titans. Titans are 8.5-point favorites. They should win that game. The over-under is 44. That's tough. I think that game can go over. I think the Titans, they're not an unstoppable defense. Like, they can give up a touchdown or two to a Trevor Lawrence-led Jacksonville team. James Robinson's still playing, But also, like, the Titans, they're going to be missing A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, of course. They do get Julio back today, though. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina will probably be getting the start today, too, with A.J. Brown still being out. So I can see why it might be difficult to figure out, like, if that game would go over under or not. But all in all, I got Tennessee winning this game. I can see the final being like 32. That's a lot of points I'm giving them. I'd say like 30 to 16. Raiders and Chiefs. Chiefs are expected to cover 9.5 points. No, I don't like that at all. I can see the Raiders covering, but I think the Chiefs will win. Over under is 48. I think that'll go over. I think the Chiefs can put up around that mark. Well, not 48, but I can see them putting up at least 30. I can see the Chiefs winning this game, probably like 38 to 30, something in the one score range. I don't think they'll cover a 9.5 point spread. The Saints and the Jets. Saints are 5.5 point favorites. I like Taysom Hill in this game. I think he's gonna have a great game. I think he'll have at least like 60 rushes. I did not know Elijah Moore was on injured reserve. What happened to Elijah Moore? Sorry, I'm just now learning about this. Elijah Moore is on injured reserve. That's actually kind of sad. I like him. I like him a lot. That's a big blow for the Jets. But yeah, Kamara's back too. So now I have Kamara and Hill playing together, as a quarterback running back duo for the first time this season. Give me the Saints on this one. Over under is 42. That's tough. It's kind of like one of those things where you don't really expect the Jets to score a lot of points, but they had a pretty decent week last week against Philadelphia until they really couldn't score much in the second half. But I think this game will go over. Give me the Saints on this one. I'm gonna go 27 to 17. Yeah, 27-17. Cowboys in Washington. I'm actually really looking forward to this game. It's crazy because the Cowboys, or excuse me, the Redskins, Washington, they can control their destiny. They played Dallas twice in their two games back, so they control their destiny. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're ahead of Philadelphia. I know they're ahead of the New York Giants, but and even then, like, if Philly's like a game ahead of them, I don't think they are. They still play them too. So, Redskins, they have a chance. I know I was kind of like on their butts about the whole Sean Taylor thing, but I kind of let that go a little bit, and I like seeing local teams succeed even if they're not my favorite team. And I know a lot of Redskins fans, including like my family and all, and I'm kind of raving about them a little bit. But those boys are winning today. Those Cowboys, I guarantee it. Like Mike McCarthy said, guaranteeing it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to guarantee it. But I think the Cowboys win. Do they cover 6.5? That's tough. I that's a game I would avoid betting all in all because I think either team has a good shot at winning this game. Every team has a 50-50 chance. But like, it's one of those games where like I could see it going either way. Cowboys. I don't think I'll give them the spread. I think it'll be a 27-24 Cowboys game. Falcons and Panthers. This is the least exciting game of the week for me. Actually, no. Let me save that for another game. Falcons and Panthers. I think the Falcons will win. Carolina's expected to cover a 2.5 point spread. Their over under is 41. A lot of teams, a lot of games this week where there's not a lot of scoring expected, and I'm honestly not surprised. The over under for the Cowboys Washington game, I was at 48. But yeah, I think Falcons will win this game. But this is one of those weird games where like Carolina could win this game too. Excuse me, guys. It's been a long night, a day. But yeah, give me the Falcons on this one. I'm gonna go 24-20, Falcons. Next we have the Seahawks and Texans. Another game I don't really give, another game I don't really care for all that much. I only care for this game because I have Russell Wilson going in my most expensive league, so I need him to do well. But give me Seattle on this one. I don't think we're gonna get too cute here. 9-point spread, they can cover that. Texans, they can't score. Yeah, there's a reason why the money line for the Texans is +330, because odds are they're probably not gonna win. Give me Seattle on this one. I can see it being 20. I'm gonna say 28-10. Lions and Broncos, least exciting game of the week. Lions, they're not gonna have DeAndre Swift. They're not gonna have Jamal Williams. And then the Broncos, their offense is just so boring to watch because they can't do anything. Cortland Sutton's talent's being wasted right now, and I hope the Broncos can get a quarterback next year so we can actually see the real Cortland Sutton, the real Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler when he comes back next year. The Broncos give me nothing to look forward to when it comes to watching them play, unless you like defense, This is another game that's expected to be low scoring. I think the over-under is, yeah, it's 42. I think that'll go under, honestly. I got the Broncos winning this game, though. I got them winning 24-10. It's because the Lions are not good. Giants and Chargers. Chargers are 9-point favorites. They won't have Keenan Allen today, but it looks like they'll have Mike Williams ready. Daniel Jones is out for the New York Giants. We thought Jake Fromm was gonna start, but he's not. It'll be Mike Glennon again. Over/under is 43.5. I'm actually a little surprised on how low that is because I feel like the Chargers can put up more. I can see them getting in the 30s, but at the same time, they won't have Keenan Allen in this game, their big weapon on third down and in the red zone. So that can definitely impact some touchdown drives if he's not there, and touchdowns might turn into field goals without his presence today. But give me the Chargers on this one. I'm gonna go. Sorry about that last interruption. I received a phone call while I was doing the podcast. I tried to like decline it, but I think it took me out of my segment anyway. Anyway, guys, sorry about that again. I have the Chargers winning this game. I think they can cover, and I don't really expect to see too much from the Giants today. Next, we have the 49ers and Bengals. I'm actually really looking forward to this game because I have a lot of fantasy players going. I also am going against a lot of fantasy players in this game, so it'll be fun to watch. This game was so tough to pick though. But I'm going to give the advantage to the home team this week and pick the Bengals to win. San Fran's expected to cover 2.5 or 2 points. Over/under is 49. I think the over might go. Bills and Buccaneers, that'll be the game of the week. In terms of like nationally televised games, Bills and Bucks. You got Josh Allen going against Tom Brady. Bills are 7-5 right now. They have a chance of being 7-6 real soon, and like nobody really expected that. They thought the Bills were going to be better. We thought the Bills were the best team in the AFC. I didn't, but other people did. They were just riding the wave last year, and yeah. I think the Bucks will cover their 3.5 point spread. I think it'll be one of those games where like it's competitive early, but then it's like Buffalo will allow Tampa Bay to just pull away from them, and then the game might get out of reach like midway in the fourth quarter. I got the Bucks winning this game. I'm gonna go 35-28. I expect some points in this game. Bears and Packers, another game I don't really care for. Packers 11.5 point spread. I think they'll cover. Give me the Packers on this one. Let's see. What score do I want to give them? I'm gonna say Packers are gonna win 30-16. And then Rams and Cardinals on Monday Night Football. Cardinals are 2.5 point favorites, but I'm gonna give it to the Rams this week. I think the Rams don't want the same team to beat them twice in 1 year. And the Rams, they gotta get something going. I don't think they want to be 8-5 at this point in the season. It's not a must win. I mean, it is if they won the division, but like in terms of like a wild card placement, it's not really a must win because like they'll have games on their schedule where their opponents won't be as good as the Cardinals. But I think the Rams will want this game a little bit more than the Cardinals. Cardinals are sitting a little bit more comfortably than the Rams right now. So the Rams probably feel like they have more to play for this week. So even the Rams on this one, I can see it being like 30-27 Rams. And guys, that is it for the week 14 pick'ems in the NFL. I can't wait to listen to this again and see how many games I got wrong. I'll probably end up getting a lot wrong. But yeah, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy this football Sunday. And happy sports betting in the state of Maryland. It is finally here, guys.